Bem, meus irmãos, eu gostaria de começar esse momento agradecendo a Deus por estarmos aqui e louvando o nome do Senhor por esse momento abençoado em que a gente vai estudar a palavra de Deus. Amen. Don't dare say that. Except my wife. You don't dare say that. So I could, you know, finish the sermon right here and right now, and I think you got the point, haven't you? Yeah. Because what's the point of a Brazilian coming to Scotland if he keeps on speaking in Portuguese and trying to address and minister to a community of Scottish English-speaking believers? Well, most of you are English-speaking Scots, I know. Some of you have to make an effort to move from Dundonian to English from and so on. Yeah, I know. And other dialects, you know, very much appreciated, I understand, by the Scottish culture, of course. Words are important, aren't they? From the early days of our existence, we learned that it is through words that we will convey more clearly, more specifically, our thoughts, affections, and intentions. It is true that language is not limited to that. It is also true that other alternative languages have been created to supplement spoken language. You know, when you drive, there is a language going on, a language of colors and signs. And they inform you about something. The guy in front of you, when he or she signals to the left or to the right, you know more or less what is going to happen. There has been communication, but mainly speaking, it is through words. Still, even before the written form, it is through speech that we also identify, describe, and even assess reality. Of course, you know, we can be very subjective in the way we assess reality, don't we? For example, it's November, it's dark, it's cold, and it's raining, and I have to go and walk on the streets. My subjective perception of that day is a miserable day. Maybe not yours, or at least you know, some of you might find that a wonderful day. Because, you know, your emotional state interferes or plays along with your assessment of reality. I know that. But through speech, we do communicate reality, don't we? It is day, not night. I don't think anyone will challenge that. At least not here in Scotland, surely elsewhere in the world. But here we are. For example, if you're crossing the road and I say, watch out for the car, your sense of self-preservation will take that speech very seriously, won't it? I know language is more complex than that, but unless my intention is to deceive you in any way, the expectation is that when I speak, you understand the message. Verse 1 in the passage, pursue love and earnestly desire spiritual gifts. Verse 1 sets the tone for the whole passage. Love is to be pursued above all else for the reasons we highlighted last Sunday, okay? Love is fulfilling. Love is focused on the other. Love never ends. And love is the greatest among the great. Hope, faith, and love, of which love is the great. Having said that, Paul has no intention to minimize the importance of spiritual gifts. The whole chapter is dedicated to two gifts in particular, the gift of tongues and the gift of prophecy. It's really hard to tell what the gift of tongues were, particularly here in this passage, because it seems to be different from what you read in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, the apostles filled with the Spirit, they say praises to God in their own language. I'm assuming they were speaking in Aramaic, dead language today. But people from various parts of the world were listening in their own tongues. So that's a very interesting manifestation of the Spirit's power. And we are not here to preach on that passage, but just to give you an example. But here, Paul speaks of mystery, of unintelligibility, so you can't understand. And so it's only the person who understands and nobody else, unless an interpreter steps in and clarifies everything. So it seems to be different because it has to be mediated by another person who can understand what's going on, or you pray for you to interpret that according to the instruction of the apostle. Prophecy here, I think we have more clarity here, and we will try to outline what prophecy means here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. But we see here how important these things are because, you know, Paul spends a considerable amount of time telling the congregation and teaching the congregation about that. In the letter, as Paul stated before, the goal of love is the building up of Christ's church. And he continues on the same trend here in the passage. Have a look at these verses. If you flip, you know, back to chapter 8, verse 1, a passage we read last Sunday, you will see this. And Paul says, "Now, concerning food offered to idols, we know that all of us possess knowledge." And then he says, "This knowledge puffs up, but love builds up." Builds up in that context or in any other context, married life, neighborhood, friendships, etc., as I tried to outline last Sunday, love always builds up. But back to closer to our passage, chapter 12, verse 31, Paul again will talk about the building up of the church. He says, "But earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way." That's his cue for this wonderful chapter we have in the Bible, which is 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Strangely enough, one of the few Bible passages that a secular wedding celebrant will allow to be used in a humanist wedding ceremony to be read. If only he knew his Bible, he probably would have thought twice. But the most excellent is about love. But what does love do? Love builds up. Now back to our chapter 14. Back to our chapter 14. Chapter 14, verse 13. "On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation." And Paul says nothing wrong with that, but I'm reading it wrong. "On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation." Three important words here we'll try to highlight later on. Consolation, upbuilding, and encouragement. Chapter 14, verse 4. "The one who speaks in a tongue builds himself up, but the one who prophesies builds up the church." Verse 12, "So with yourselves, since you are eager for manifestations of the Spirit, strive to excel in the building up of the church." Verse 17, "For you may be giving thanks well enough, but the other person is not being built up." And this is the context when someone like me, you know, at the beginning of the service, is speaking another tongue, and nobody can say a or nay to whatever is being said. I don't know what's going on here. And so only the person might be being built up by reflections on the word of God or praises to God or thanksgiving to God. But that's just the person and nobody else. In order to achieve that goal, the goal of building up the church in love, the passage highlights three instructions on the matter. The first instruction is, the church is expected to be emotionally invested when it comes to spiritual gifts for the building up of the church. Verse 1, pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. And earnestly desire is the translation of the word to have zeal for it. To really have a hunger for spiritual gifts. First of all, notice that Paul's description of love goes way beyond of mere sentiment, a feeling. Love is a mindset, the disposition of the heart towards self-sacrifice in order to promote the welfare of others in a relationship. That is what to be pursued in church when we think of God and each other. Pursue love. Second, with loving mind, earnestly desire gifts through which love will be channeled in service to God and in service to others. Alberto, I do not know what gift I have, but you know how to serve, don't you? Yes, there you are. You might spend your whole life never knowing exactly what was my spiritual gift. If you are of service of others, just don't worry. God will use his power and grace in the Spirit to channel through your life his love to build up others. Yes, pursue love, desire spiritual gifts, but it is the mindset, it is the disposition of the heart that is actually at the forefront of Paul's thinking here about this matter. The church is expected to be emotionally, wholeheartedly invested in these matters. Second, the church is expected to prioritize prophecy. Verse 1 again. Pursue love and earnestly desire spiritual gifts, especially that you prophesy. Verse 5. Now, I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more so to prophesy. Even more so to prophesy. As I mentioned at the beginning of the sermon, words serve the purpose of communication. When it comes to decision, to a decision between the gift of prophecy or the gift of tongues, prophecy should have priority. Two reasons here, why prophecy should have priority. First of all, it is purposeful. Verse 3. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding, encouragement, and consolation. It focuses on the upbuilding, encouragement, and consolation of others. There is a very strong pastoral input here. And it's interesting. It's the application, the expounding, and the expressing of God's word for the pastoral care of those around me. Some of you do that through the house group ministries. Some of us do that through the preaching of the word from the position I occupy here. Some others, you do that in private or small group conversations, filled with the word of God, uttering those words as understood and interpreted by Christ and his Spirit, sound teaching of the word, communicating that word that upbuilds, that pastors, that cares for others around you. But it's not only purposeful, prophecy is also meaningful. Verse 10 and verse 11. There are doubtless many different languages in the world, and none is without meaning. But if I do not know the meaning of the language, I will be a foreigner to the speaker, and the speaker will be a foreigner to me. Paul is just making the point, you know, it's better to, you know, as he says at the end of the passage, 5 words in the language I can understand, than 10,000 in a language I don't have a clue at all about what's going on with that language. And it's interesting, here in the congregation, we have at least 3 languages, you know, not talking about the dialects, okay? But, you know, we have, you know, Cantonese, we have Portuguese, and we have English. And 2-1. Be careful what's happening. We are invading your country. Oh, sorry, 3, Korean. Oh, will I ever be forgiven? Oh, yes, there you are, yes. And we have Korean, there you are. But it's better to speak in a language we'll all understand. Therefore, prophecy is meaningful. It is meaningful in content. Verse 6, now brothers, if I come to you speaking in tongues, how will you benefit will I benefit you unless I bring you some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or teaching. And it's interesting here, the content of prophecy here that Paul speaks about. Revelation, prophecy, knowledge, teaching, and in verse 16, thanksgiving. It's a variation of utterances here. You speak, you know, different subjects with different emphasis. For revelation here, I'm not talking about new revelation today as if we need to start to write a new Bible in order to add to what is here. If you're coming to our, you know, world religions course in the evenings, you know, some even Christian groups in recent past, they came claiming that they have received new revelation from God, but actually it's a kind of revelation that is in contrast with what we have here in the Bible. Reason why we say, yeah, you are heretics because you do not speak the word of Christ and you are not in line with the apostles and the prophets as you understand Old and New Testament. I'm talking about the Mormons. I'm talking about Jehovah's Witnesses to give you a few examples. So I'm not talking revelation about that. But sometimes it could be an insight about a passage that brings light to you in your walk of faith and gives more clarity for you to obey, serve, follow, and love Jesus. In that sense, you know, sometimes it's not new to me speaking about these things, but it's new to you. Or sometimes it's some comprehension, some understanding we get together as we dive into Scripture, and then you realize, oh, I hadn't noticed this. And therefore, it's being revealed. But it comes through prophecy, addressing the word of Christ in issues that need sometimes repentance or clarity as how we should behave in a certain ways. Knowledge, when we have to make decisions and we feel sometimes caught between two choices and we pray for God's wisdom and guidance according to his will and word. Because that's the greatest desire and longing from our hearts, to live lives that honor him in everything and everywhere. Teaching, as we accumulate an understanding of God's words and teachings over the millennia and its relevance to us in our daily walk with him. And thanksgiving, verse 16, which says, otherwise, if you give thanks with your spirit, how can anyone in the position of an outsider say amen to your thanksgiving when he does not know what you are saying? So prophecy here is a broad word for the proclamation, the teaching, the explanation, the sharing of God's word. What is the purpose? The building up of the church. What's the motivation? Love. Prophecy is purposeful. Prophecy is meaningful. Prophecy is intelligible. Verse 9, we read, So with yourselves, if with your tongue you utter speech that is not intelligible, how will anyone know what is said? And also, prophecy is to be shared in community. It's not just for me, strictly speaking. It's for the whole church. Verse 16 and 17. Otherwise, if you give thanks with your spirit, how can anyone in the position of an outsider say amen to your thanksgiving when he does not know what you're saying? What you say is for somebody else apart from you. For you may be giving thanks well enough, but the other person is not being built up. It's a word to be shared in community. So the church is expected to be emotionally invested, pursue love, and have a zeal, earnestly desire spiritual gifts. The church is expected to prioritize prophecy when it comes to the decision between the gift of tongues or the gift of prophecy. But it's interesting that Paul finds a place for the gift of tongues in the church. And it seems to be a gift for self-edification or for self-building up. Verse 4. The one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself. Verse 16a, once again, verse 16. Otherwise, if you give thanks in your spirit. Okay? And also, verse 2, for the one who speaks in a tongue, speak not to men, but to God. And there is anything wrong speaking to God? But of course, for no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the spirit. You have to understand that. It is hard to say whether Paul is making a negative comment or if he is simply stating the facts here. Is he discouraging the church in Corinth to use that gift? The right time, the right place, and the right measure of it? Or is Paul using a kind of irony here to see, look, which one of the two do you want to be flourishing and developing in the church? So, you know, tongues, you know, it's like, you know, it's like, it doesn't affect the rest. So you don't really need it. Is that the intention behind what Paul is saying here? I don't think so, because of how he qualifies the gifts. That you are truly speaking to God, and that it is by the agency of the Spirit that this gift is being in operation or at work in the life of a Christian believer. Is it for all believers? No. Any charismatic movement that comes to you saying, have you been baptized with the Holy Spirit? And you say yes, because you believe in Jesus. And they say, do you speak in tongues? You say no. And if they say, then you don't have the Spirit, point this passage to him or to her, okay? It's nothing to do. It's nothing to do here. They are brothers, loved brothers and sisters in Christ, but on this matter, they're wrong. And this is what I'm saying is prophecy. For the instruction and teaching of the church, for them might be even a revelation. Oh, I didn't realize that. But that's the word of God. Back again to verse 5, we read, now, I want you all to speak in tongues. Of course, you know, Paul is, you know, using an exaggeration, saying, no, it would be great, but even more so to prophesy. So there is a hierarchy here that needs to be respected. And of course, if you want to exercise that gift in the church, there has to be what? Interpretation. You can ask Luciani afterwards what I said at the beginning of the sermon. Okay? She is a faithful interpreter, I can assure you. Okay? Quite different from, you know, of course, you know, this is the generation of Christianity, the example I'm going to give. It is said that in Brazil, in the colonial times, Europe wouldn't send, you know, the best of the best to, you know, start the colonies, but sometimes it could be the worst of the worst. People, you know, who were caught up in debt and trying to run away from debtors, or sometimes, you know, minor criminal misdemeanor that, you know, could be sorted out by just starting life elsewhere. And of course, you know, and that would be the same about the clergy. And there's a story, whether it's true or not, but I think it could be true. You know, in the olden days, the whole Mass would be said in Latin. And the clergy, to mock the people, instead of saying the actual rites in Latin, and they would know Latin well, they would tell jokes in Latin, and the congregation could know what they were saying. They didn't know Latin, and they just would say amen to the last joke. In the aggregation, in the congregation, in the gathering of God's people, speak the language of the people. Reason why? We are reading a Bible translated in English. culturally adequate for the meeting we are having. Now, so let's finish here. We have a fascination for the supernatural because we think it validates and authenticates strongly our experience of Christ. And there's a danger of thinking that you are a more special Christian because you had that effusion of the Holy Spirit that made you utter tongues you cannot understand. Because normally so some of those experiences are accompanied by a very intense experience of joy. Okay? And sometimes we are tempted to say, well, now it is true. Be careful with that. That's probably the reason why some people tend to be more impressed with such phenomena than with the plain and blessed reading of scriptures as the record of the living word of God for the instruction of the worldwide church throughout the ages. And moreover, Paul, when he writes to Timothy, one of his disciples and co-workers, he would say, the word is God-breathed. Which word? Scripture. That's the word he uses. The scripture, what is written, it comes out of the mouth of God. That's the picture you have in mind when you allow yourself to be, to be affected and impressed and challenged and transformed by this wonderful word of God. With or without the gift of tongues. I have to say that most of what you see on TV as portrayed as gift of tongues probably isn't the real thing. For once, it's characteristic of the gift not to be public unless there is interpretation. It is the most abused and misused gift in contemporary Western Christianity. The prophetic ministry, as described by Paul in this passage, has two fundamental thrusts. The pastoral thrust, upbuilding, encouragement, consolation, and the thrust of teaching or instruction of the congregation. So, brothers and sisters, pray for gifts, especially prophecy. Pray for preachers, for teachers, and others who have been given the task to build up the church in love through the expounding and explanation of the Word of God. Pray for yourself to be spared of the danger of missing the obvious Word of God because of a fascination for the spectacular. Never forget Elijah's experience in the wilderness. The fire came, the wind, the hurricane came, the earthquake came, and then a still small voice. And that's when God spoke. Finally, pray for interpretation of tongue if you have the gift. In order for the gift to be meaningful and useful in the context of the church community. Otherwise, carry on upbuilding yourself, doing some spiritual exercise that will reflect the blessing elsewhere when you are engaging with other people, when you are witnessing Christ to others, and when you are serving the church of Christ to whom you belong. Let us pray.